Imagine handing over a massive security deposit for a new place.
Right.
Only to have your landlord suddenly, I don't know, invent new rules or ignore a leaking roof.
Oh, and fake a bunch of damages when you try to move out.
Exactly. Before 2014, in South Africa, that wasn't just some nightmare scenario. I mean, it was practically a business model.
It really was.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission for today's deep dive is South Africa's Rental Housing Amendment Act of 2014. Whether you rent, own, or you're just curious about how laws shape daily life, this document completely rewrote the rules of the rental market to stop that exact kind of exploitation.
Right, because previously, the rental landscape was essentially, well, it was the Wild West.
Yeah.
The whole system relied heavily on verbal agreements and assumptions. So what this amendment did was fundamentally alter the power dynamic by establishing a strict, undeniable baseline of legal certainty for everyone involved.
And that baseline starts with the most basic element, you know, the lease itself. It really enforced an assumption, right?
No, not at all.
So that act mandated that every single lease must be in writing. No more handshake deals or those, we talked about this, defenses. It's like playing a board game where the other person keeps inventing new rules halfway through. You need it on paper.
What's fascinating here is how the government officially codified basic living standards right into everyday contract law. By forcing a written agreement, they eliminated the whole he said, she said loophole.
Right.
But they didn't just demand a piece of paper. They explicitly defined habitability. A dwelling legally has to be structurally sound, provide adequate space, and, you know, protect the tenant's health and physical safety.
So it's no longer just four walls and a roof. By defining habitability right in the text of the law, a landlord is legally bound to actively maintain the structure to a specific standard.
Precisely.
They can't just collect rent on a decaying property and claim ignorance.
Yeah, it forces proactive maintenance. If the roof leaks, that's no longer a casual disagreement. I mean, it's a breach of a legally defined habitability standard.
I see how that changes the game. But, well, a rule book is one thing. The real friction is always the money. Landlords holding deposits just have all the leverage.
Which is why the Act aggressively targets the deposit. The law legally requires landlords to hold those funds in an interest-bearing account with a financial institution.
Wait, so it can't just sit in a regular checking account?
No, it has to earn at least a standard savings rate.
And the tenant gets that interest. That makes sense. It's their money. But here's where it gets really interesting to me. The biggest scam is always the move-out inspection.
Oh, definitely.
A landlord can easily wait until you leave, claim the carpet is ruined, and just keep the cash. What happens if one party just, you know, ghosts the move-out inspection?
Well, they fix that by dictating strict joint inspection rules that basically remove the opportunity for retroactive claims. Inspections must happen together before moving in, and then within 3 days before moving out.
Okay, but what if the landlord just skips it?
If the landlord skips that final inspection, the law dictates that they legally acknowledge the property is in a good and proper state.
Wait, really?
Yep. They completely forfeit their claims for damages and must refund the full deposit plus the interest within 7 days.
So if the landlord ignores the tenant's calls for a walkthrough, they actively penalize themselves. That is brilliant. But let me play devil's advocate here. What if the tenant is the one trying to hide, like a massive hole in the drywall, so they ghost the inspection? Is the landlord just trapped?
Not at all. The law actually anticipates that. If the tenant skips out, the balance of power temporarily shifts to protect the owner.
Okay.
The landlord then has 7 days from the expiration of the lease to inspect the dwelling themselves and deduct reasonable repair costs.
Makes sense.
And then they have up to 21 days to return the remaining balance and interest, but, and this is key, they must make the actual receipts for those repairs available to the tenant. It forces transparency either way.
The mandatory receipts are a great touch. But let's be realistic. A stubborn landlord holding a massive deposit might just ignore that 21-day rule anyway. If a renter is already strapped for cash, they aren't going to hire a pricey lawyer to fight a lengthy battle in the high court.
Oh, for sure.
The law seems toothless if you can't afford to actually enforce it.
And that was a massive flaw in the old system, which is exactly why the 2014 amendment bypassed the traditional court system for these disputes.
Oh.
It requires every single province to establish a rental housing tribunal made up of experts in both housing and law. Plus, local municipalities have to set up information offices purely to advise people on their rights.
So what does this all mean for the average person? Instead of a massive, expensive lawsuit, they have a localized system.
Exactly. It creates a speedy, accessible mechanism for redress at minimal cost. The procedures bypass all those bureaucratic delays. And if a party disagrees with a tribunal's decision, they only have a strict 14-day window to file an appeal.
Wow. So the 2014 amendment didn't just tweak the rules, it completely transformed a heavily imbalanced market into a highly structured system with real accountability for both sides.
It fundamentally leveled the playing field, yeah.
It really did.
Mm-hmm.
And it leaves me with this final thought for you to ponder. This law essentially forces landlords to act almost like fiduciaries with a tenant's deposit, holding it securely, investing it safely, and returning the interest to the rightful owner.
Mm-hmm.
How might this exact principle reshape other industries where large institutions hold our money for safekeeping? Imagine if every company holding your funds had to play by those same transparent rules. Suddenly that board game feels a lot more fair, doesn't it?